The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, you never know what you'll see driving into the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. You're not going to believe it.
Was it Wilbur the Wildcat?
No, a guy in a convertible in a full hazmat suit with the, you know, the face shield, shiny kind of silver suit, and huge dark goggles. So, I mean, come on.
So he is protected against radiation and everything.
I don't know, but it, you know, it could
or
be.
Or trying out his... Halloween costumes.
Pretty hot, I would think, driving around in that. Anyway, welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, May 14th, 2020. We are practicing, of course, safe distancing while bringing people together from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Anywhere in the world live listening at buckmastershow.com. Tom, I really, please... I think we need to get the message out. Please, people, stop shaming others, your friends and your neighbors on social media. It is unproductive. It is un-American. And then we're learning today on our morning show, Wake Up Tucson, the owner of the Arizona Beer House being threatened with death if he doesn't close his business. He's opened his restaurant.
We've seen things like this happen in the past, and it's never ended well.
It doesn't end well, usually, and it's just, it's ridiculous. Come on. Anyway, in a 3-2 vote, the Pima County Board of Supervisors approved to immediately update the county's health code to include 15 of the 17 new guidelines recommended by the Pima County Health Department during yesterday's emergency meeting. Supervisors Allie Miller and Steve Christie voted against updating the health code. The health department issued the new guidelines to help combat the spread of COVID-19 as bars and restaurants reopen with limited in-dining service on May 11th. Pima County Chair Ramon Valadez joins us on the live line. Chairman Valadez, how are you?
Doing very well, Bill. Glad to be on with you. Wish I was there in person, though.
Yeah, we're all telephonic here since St. Patrick's Day, and I don't know how long it will continue, but trying to keep safe distancing. Anyway, why was this necessary? The governor had already said let's reopen. Why does Pima County feel they need to take this a step above what the governor is recommending?
It's not really. Look, one of the things we did when we were crafting what we did yesterday in terms of regulation is that we did it very carefully with our legal counsel to make sure it was not in conflict with the governor's order. So let me say that again. We crafted it very carefully so that it was not in conflict with the governor's order. Part of the reason why we felt we had to do that is because there was a lot of vague references in the governor's order in terms of what restaurants should be doing. He certainly says they should be practicing sanitary and safe practices. Well, you go from one restaurant here to another, that means two different things. So we wanted to establish a same standard for all the restaurants so that, look, the truth is COVID-19 gone? No. Is COVID-19 contagious? Yes. And if we go out right now and we go completely unprotected, is there a possibility, and that's the important word, a possibility that one could contract it? Also, yes. So that we have to make sure that we're acting as safely as possible in this environment, okay? So the reason we adopted those regulations is so that there was, if a restaurant is going to be open and operating under those regulations, obviously, there was at least as safe a possible a situation in those restaurants for their diners as possible. Now, if you go back to what the governor said both this week and last time he renewed the order, he was very, very clear. And he said that our dining experiences will not be back to normal for probably a long time. He understood in that statement that safety measures were going to be needed to be put in place in order to be as safe as possible. So in what we did yesterday, we are not only complying with his order, but we're also doing what we can to make it very clear amongst restaurant owners as well as gym operators, pool operators, what they can do to have a best set of practices that, given the current pandemic, create as safe an environment as possible. Now, that also shouldn't be understood as safe as it used to be, certainly, but as safe as possible is what we're saying.
Is it an end run, though, around the governor, the three members of the board who voted in favor of this? I'm kind of assuming that you and your colleagues felt that the governor acted too soon. Am I assuming that you do not believe that the governor should have opened the restaurants up?
You know, what I have said is, if I were governor, would I have chosen to open it up now?
Right.
And the answer is no. But that's not the choice I get to make. That's his choice. That's his job. He's done his part of the job. Now I've got to do my part of the job. My part of the job is very simple. I've got to make sure that what he talked about in creating as safe an environment as possible for diners, it comes very clear in how to do that. And that's what we did yesterday. It's not anything other than we want to make sure that our community is as protected as possible in the current environment.
There were a couple of items there that I want to clarify with you. Hand sanitizers, there was some kind of reference that if a restaurant, for whatever reason, perhaps they're a small restaurant, can't acquire hand sanitizers for whatever reason, supply issues, is Pima County willing to supply them, and would that be free of charge?
We are working at acquiring the hand sanitizer as much as we can, and we will certainly work with them to make sure they have it. I don't know the answer as free as possible right now, but that possibility does exist.
Next question concerning the regulations about calling ahead for reservations. Why did you feel that would be necessary for if you wanted to dine in the restaurant?
Because if you really think about that, and remember, these 17 recommendations weren't come up by the board. These were vetted through the restaurant task force that met last week and the week before, and that reported to the steering committee this past Monday. So these are not conditions that we just haphazardly put together. We then put it out on a survey, and almost 10,000 people responded. And we asked them, is this not important? Is this important? Is this extremely important? And every one of those 17, the public said, is extremely important. Now, these are almost 10,000 people that replied to the survey. I don't know about how many surveys you've done, but I have a hard time getting to 200, let alone almost 10,000. Our public was saying very, very clearly that they felt that they needed to feel a sense of safety when they went out dining. Now, going back to the provision that you just mentioned, think about it from this perspective. If there's limited seating, and remember, it's going to be 50% of the normal operating, and we have some discussions that maybe in the future what we'll do is we'll relax that to 50% or what's available at 6 feet. Now, we are also extending their premises, allowing the extension of those premises in the unincorporated areas, which we have control over, so that they can use their patios, their sidewalks, their parking lots, as long as they block it off to extend that capacity. So there is some ability to extend it beyond what would be 100% of the capacity, so long as that is done outside.
Go ahead. I was going to say the Arizona Restaurant Association feels they were left out of this conversation. And I know you did this survey and you said there were 10,000 responding people to it. But what about the Arizona Restaurant Association? Shouldn't they have had a seat at the table with this?
Bill, they did.
They did?
They were both meetings, and they even spoke. I'd be happy to provide you with the transcript or the recording of that, so you can hear that they were not only on the task force, they spoke.
And what did they think about the regulations?
Well, they were on the task force that reviewed these committees, didn't really say anything during the task force meeting, either meeting, and then sent us a letter and objection to the conditions. They were at the table.
Okay, yeah, I'm wrong about that. Dan Bogert?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, the head of the Arizona Restaurant Association was a member of the Bars and Restaurant Task Force. So I stand corrected on that. But they were not in favor. Can I phrase that a different? So they were not in favor, though, of these restrictions.
They are not in favor. I don't believe that the comments during the task force committee, the task force actually indicated one or the other. They may have had some concerns. But the letter that came after the report from the task force is where they chose to object. But they were at the table.
All right. Let's continue our conversation with Ramon Valadez. If folks would like to join in the conversation, our live line number is 790-2040. If you have an opinion on this, and a lot of people do, Supervisor Valadez will take your question and hear your concerns. Right now, I want to talk about one of our favorite places to go for bakery goods. That's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. And they are open right now for lunch. And they are open. Folks can just walk in and get their bakery goods, and they have plenty of room outdoors. They've got a beautiful patio, and a lot of people have been taking advantage of that.
But if you want to go in and sit down to have lunch, should you call ahead, do you think?
I believe so.
But if you're just going to pick something up, you don't need to call ahead.
Okay. But if you wanted to dine in, I guess you would have to call ahead. Is that right, Supervisor Valadez?
That's correct. And sorry, I failed to actually address that issue. Think about it this way. If you've got limited capacity and you're already full, are you going to take another reservation knowing that you don't have the capacity and making people wait outside and in a hot situation? No.
Yeah.
So if you start thinking about it from that perspective, it makes a lot more sense.
Okay. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. They're open from 6:30 to 2 in the afternoon, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The best bakery goods you could ever imagine. Everybody's looking for comfort food right now in these very, very dark times. What could taste better as you wake up in the morning with your coffee than a couple of slices from the Danish Kringle in all sorts of flavors? I like the almond one. Let's see. I like the blueberry. Oh, they've got all sorts of flavors. So check it out, Mona's Danish Bakery. More with Supervisor Valadez right after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I like that bump music, Tom. Have not heard that in a while. Kind of sounds like a little late night jazz that, you know, what didn't Clint Eastwood have that movie? Was it Play Misty?
Play Misty for me, yep.
Yeah, where he's like this late night FM disc jockey in Carmel, California, playing that mellow late night jazz. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, 1030 The Voice for Trusted News Talk. Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez with us on the live line. Mike, you've been waiting patiently, so let's go to caller Mike, calling us at 790-2040. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, my concern was the rules for fitness centers. I had read it was suggested that those age 65 and older would be banned from the centers. Do we know how that was? Was that included in the rules that were voted on yesterday, I guess?
Supervisor Valadez?
I don't recall if they were. I don't think they were, but part of the issue there, Mike, was simply, obviously, it's when someone's over the age of 65, the CDC has actually identified them as an at-risk population. So it's obviously a choice, but certainly an attempt was made to try and make sure that they were kept out of situations where there could be an easy transmission of a virus.
So there were a set of rules for fitness centers that you voted on yesterday. Is that correct?
There was.
Okay. Was that, you're saying that was not included in the rules?
I'm looking through it right now. If you can give me just a moment.
Sure.
Let's see here.
And again, while Supervisor Valadez is looking through there, Mike, are you over 65?
Yes, I am.
So okay. I
can tell you my experience at the clubs is there are a great many people over 65.
Well, I know.
We're patrons of these clubs.
I'm in that age group. But anyway, let's see if Supervisor Valdez found it.
I just looked. It's not included in those measures.
Okay. So it's not a restriction. In other words, if you're over 65, you can't visit a gym or a health club.
Okay. I'm glad to hear it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. All right, let's talk about county workers going back to work. I guess, next week. Is that what we're talking about? 7,000 Pima County employees? Wait a minute. Is that how large your workforce? No, it's not that large.
Actually, it's about 7,100 FTEs in the budget.
Wow.
Obviously, there are usually 500 to 700 unfilled positions at that point. So that's an FTE.
All right.
Full-time equivalents. I'm sorry.
So it's a lot of people. So is the word that the telecommuting is over unless you have some kind of a compromised medical condition? Is that what you're hearing?
Actually, there are four conditions, and this is the way it happened, okay?
Okay.
When obviously we identified and declared an emergency, one of the things that we did was that we loosened up the rules for telecommuting to, if you have a condition, if a member of your household has a condition, if you're over the age of 65, and the last one was if you have a child under the age of 18 who doesn't have a school or daycare to go to because of COVID-19-related reasons. So those were the conditions. When the governor then did the stay-at-home order, a fifth condition was added that made it just very, very loose. Okay. So part of what had happened was obviously in the return to work, because the stay-at-home order is going to be expiring at midnight on Friday, part of that was to come back, and it was the desire of the board to allow telecommuting where it was possible. So the discussion that we had yesterday with our administration and the directive memo went out yesterday afternoon was that if you have any of those four conditions, and you are eligible for telecommuting. Now, what we are asking is we have a form. Basically, all it says is it does not require a doctor's visit. You send it to your medical provider. They just sign off that you have one of the CDC specified conditions. We don't want to know which one. All we need is a doctor saying that you've got a condition, okay? Obviously, if you have an 18-year-old child that doesn't have a daycare, that's fairly easy to prove as well. Age 65, your HR records are already going to show that. So if you have any of those, telecommuting is they're eligible for telecommuting. And so of our total of employees, which is probably about 6,400, because we're deducting the open vacancies.
Okay.
We're talking about, as of yesterday, about 1,100 of which chose to do some level of telecommuting, but a lot of them were not doing full-time telecommuting. Only a little over 300 of them were actually doing full-time telecommuting. So in a lot of cases where one parent could, they just switch it so that every other week the other parent would stay home. So we've got some of that. We've got, as I said, 1,100 were taking advantage of telecommuting, but only about 300 of them, a little over 300, were full-time telecommuting. But obviously, provided they're still in one of those four classes, they are still eligible for telecommuting.
How about wearing masks in the building, in the county building?
We are recommending it and providing our staff with masks.
So if you don't have a mask, you will provide one?
Yeah, for our employees, yes, and for the public.
Are you wearing one?
I'm at home right now, no, but in the office, as you saw in the board meeting, yes.
What are you noticing? I'm noticing about, as I go out and about into the markets and things, about half the people seem to wear masks. Is that about kind of what you're seeing, Ramon Valdez?
No, I'll tell you what I'm seeing is a higher percentage, and apparently we actually are seeing that there are people who are making political statements by not wearing masks to a great degree. But we've seen a fairly high percentage of mask usage. If I am in public, I am wearing a mask as well. Remember, it's not so much a mask short of a medical grade N95 is not going to protect the user from getting a disease. It is, however, likely to protect others from whatever bacteria or viruses we may have from us. So really, we are wearing masks to protect others, not so much ourselves.
although it does have a limited protection.
And wrapping up what we started our conversation with, those restaurant restrictions being codified into the Pima County Health Department in the code, that can be changed, right? Or is it going to be reexamined in 30 days? What's the deal?
When we codified it, we asked for a review within 2 weeks. It is a work in progress, though, and that's what we need to make sure is very clear. We want to see what works. We need to see what continues to be necessary, what doesn't continue to be necessary, and what we can establish as best practices. We needed to have something in place, basically, as I said earlier, to make our public as safe as possible given our current situation.
And you're not going to have police are not going to respond to these calls or sheriff's deputies?
No. It's through the county health department, food safety, the chef's department, the chefs, in other words. The first offense is just a talking to. Second offense is a talking to and a stern warning. Third offense, there is a fine at third offense.
All right, Ramon Valdez, we're going to wrap it up right there. Stay safe. Thanks, sir.
You too. Thank you, Bill.
Okay, Ramon Valdez, the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Coming up after we take the break, all this anxiety around COVID-19, Dr. Schwebel will join us, have some very practical advice about how you can keep that anxiety level down. Right now it's CBS Network News, then the Buckmaster Show sponsors. Please listen to these messages and support these people. Thank you.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Thursday afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I love their logo. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. Wow, 50 years in the business, half a century. And they've expanded over the years. Jan and Jack, the current owners, have done just a beautiful job. 13 acres of, well, amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. And with the shut-in situation and recent quarantine, a lot of people have decided, you know what a good hobby would be? I'm going to take up gardening. I'd love to see some beautiful plants in the backyard. Well, the plants are not going to just appear miraculously. You're going to have to visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road and select your plants. And if you're worried, well, you know, I don't want to get too close to people, they've got 13 acres. There's plenty of room to do your social distancing. So greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com, the websites. Robert Schwebel. Dr. Schwebel is a clinical psychologist, longtime Tucson resident who directed a counseling agency here in town in the early 1980s. Dr. Schwebel began his writing career with a weekly psychology column in the Arizona Daily Star from 1983 to 1981. That's when I met Dr. Schwebel, actually, during that period. Had him on my TV show on Channel 6 on numerous occasions. In 1990, he developed the Seven Challenges drug treatment program. It's now used in hundreds of organizations across the United States. He's written several books, including his new one, came out last year. It's titled Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. These days, Dr. Schwebel writes articles for his blog on Psychology Today, most recently with a focus on, what else, coping with COVID-19. Dr. Schwebel, how are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well, all things considered, and it's very nice to be talking with you and your audience.
Well, thank you very much. I know that the COVID-19 has been, of course, a major threat to our physical health, but I've noticed your three most recent articles on your Psychology Today blog have been about COVID-19. Can you tell us a little bit about the mental health issues involved with COVID-19 and why you're writing about this?
Yeah, that's a very important question. Our lives have been totally disrupted by COVID-19. There's tremendous isolation, uncertainty, unpredictability, and even lack of basic security about health and finances for so many people. So this is like the precise sort of conditions that cause psychological distress.
And it really is creating all sorts of extra stress these days. Maybe it's because I'm in the news business, I'm getting far too much of this bad news. But I'll tell you, Dr. Schwebel, I've been anxious. I have good and I have bad days. Luckily, today is a good day. Yesterday, not so much. But I've been very frank about it here on the radio, Dr. Schwebel.
Bill, we all are.
And I've just been really open with my listeners that I've been having good and bad days like everybody else, and my mood fluctuates a lot. Is this normal, or am I some kind of an outlier?
Well, I could joke and say you're an outlier, but no, we all, I mean, we're all feeling that, and I count myself among those who are feeling that. You know, I'm sort of the doctor and the patient. We're all going through this together. No one saw it coming. And, of course, we're all distressed. We're all depressed. We're all anxious, and this is traumatic. You know, the latest reports project that the pandemic will lead to 75,000 deaths from alcoholism, drugs, and suicide in the country.
Wow.
It's astounding. We're all in it together, and we do have to figure out solutions. And, you know, I feel for you, I'm very fortunate. I can work from home.
Right.
You're part of the essential workforce. I mean, there's some of us who are very privileged. I have the means to support myself. I have a comfortable home. I'm here with my wife. And my poor son, who was about to live on a trip abroad, had the worst possible thing imaginable. He got stranded with his parents. So I'm here with...
So he was ready to take off for overseas. Then all of this broke. So he's now in a resident there at the Schwebel Home.
Yeah. So I'm very fortunate, and I feel for so much for the healthcare workers, the essential workers, you among them, who go out and have to take all these risks to serve the rest of us. And I have so much respect and gratitude to you and to the others for that.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about anxiety, Dr. Schwebel. What's considered normal when we're talking about anxiety? I mean, let's face it, we have day-to-day anxiety even before this. But what's your normal on this? What's your take?
Right. You know, people tend to think about and talk about anxiety when it's problematic. But really, anxiety is a protective emotion. Anxiety is what warns us that there's a threat or a problem. And lo and behold, a lot of us are feeling anxious because we're all having this threat and a problem. So it's a protective mechanism in that it warns us. Anxiety becomes problematic when we have more anxiety than we can cope with, and we can't deal with it effectively.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the practical solutions. This really, I noticed in your blog, in Psychology Today, that you had some really good suggestions that I think could be very helpful to our listeners right now. Could you give us some of those recommendations, please?
Sure, yes. And by the way, the problem with anxiety is it can paralyze us and leave us doing nothing when we really need to be doing things. So, I'm glad you asked that question, because part of what I want to do, my brother used to tease me, and he would say, why don't you make yourself useful? My older brother, why don't you make yourself useful for a change? So
I've heard that one before.
So what I've been trying to do in these Psychology Today blogs is offer practical, simple advice. Probably one of the simplest things we can all do is breathing. And, of course, we're all breathing. And, of course, if you read up on it, there are all these clever, brilliant ways to do deep breathing that you can study and learn. But what I talked about in the blog is that I recommend the simplest of things to do, which is to slow down and take 3 deep breaths. Inhale, put your hand on your tummy, inhale, feel your body filling up with air all the way down to your tummy, and then slowly exhale. And do it 3 times, and it will help relax you. It's amazing. And you can do it over and over during the day. And I actually integrate, that's a normal part of my life. You know, if I'm under stress, if I'm feeling a lot of burden, I just take 3 deep breaths into the belly and out.
And would that work? A lot of people are having kind of little mini anxiety attacks when they perhaps they shouldn't be reading news right on the internet. I know I have fallen into this trap a couple of times. I'll be looking on the computer, and then there'll be some really horrible story about COVID-19. Then I try to go to sleep, and then suddenly I'm all worried. So would the breathing work under those circumstances?
It will help, and it will help prevent it. And by the way, that's another one of the very practical recommendations. Turn off the 24-hour news cycle.
Yep.
I mean, we have to remember that, that what brings people in is fear. And advertisers want fear, want to scare people. And, obviously, there are a lot of things we need to be concerned about, but we don't want to feed that fear. And, I started out watching a lot of news, and I stopped.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can find the news you want in 10 minutes, and you want to keep, you certainly want to keep track of the local news and what's going on in your own community. And other than that, I think it's time to tune into solution-focused reporting. You know, what can we do to handle it? Like you're offering today, and hopefully I'm contributing to, you know, what can you do to deal with the situation rather than sort of going over and over the data, the numbers, the ongoing count. It just that's feeding the anxiety.
And as I posted on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page last night, Dr. Schwebel, I said in 50-plus years in the news gathering business, I have never seen anything like what's going on with trying to get accurate information. And I guess, I guess nowadays one can cherry-pick whatever version of a story that fits your mood. And so it is not a good idea to be looking at or watching news, reading about news before you go to sleep.
Or exposing your children to that news, too. I think that's another important piece.
All right, let's take a break right here. Dr. Schwebel will stick around, and Dr. Schwebel would be happy to hear from some of the Buckmaster Show listeners, so I'm going to give out that number. It's 790-2040. If you have a question or a comment, or perhaps there's a way that you're dealing with anxiety that you would like to share with the rest of us, we would love to hear from you in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 10:30. The Voice, your source for trusted local news and talk here in Southern Arizona. So many of us have a kind of a mental bucket list about where we want to go when we feel it is safe enough to do so. And now with Arizona opening up, people might start and want to venture not too far from home, like a 3-hour drive from Tucson, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. My friends over there are just ready with open arms to welcome Southern Arizonans back to a beautiful area of the land of enchantment. Their website is a great starting place and start dreaming about some of the fun things to do over there, like maybe visiting the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, or that's just north of town, or the Gila National Forest to do some outdoor activities. Plenty of room for social distancing. The website is southwestnewmexico.org for places to stay in the area and all sorts of recreation opportunities. Dr. Robert Schwebel, we continue our conversation with my friend, clinical psychologist, longtime Tucson resident. He's written several very important books. The newest came out last year. It was titled and is titled Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. And these days he's been writing some very interesting articles for his blog on Psychology Today. Most recently, he's been focusing on how to cope with COVID-19. We talked a little bit about strategies for dealing with anxiety, Dr. Schwebel.
Yes. Bill, may I add a couple more just quickly?
Go ahead, sure.
In order to try to be really practical.
Okay.
I thought of two things during the break. One is endless worries, and I've had this myself. I'd wake up in the morning, and I'd find myself lying in bed thinking about things over and over again.
Yep.
My recommendation, if you recognize that you're doing that, get out of bed. Distract yourself.
There's a good suggestion.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Another one, there's a concept called catastrophizing, from the word catastrophe, of course. And that is, look, the situation is scary, but catastrophizing means thinking of the absolute worst things and scaring yourself. It's like yelling boo in a dark room. And I think that if you're aware of that concept, you can watch for it and say to yourself, look, these are scary times. They are difficult things. But this is not going to be a level of a catastrophe. I do not have to scare myself with that. So those are a couple of things I just wanted to add in terms of dealing with stress.
How about reality? We're living in a bad reality right now. Everyone knows that. What about escaping? Escapism, your thoughts?
Well, I'll be the first to admit I've done a little bit of binging on Netflix. And I think escapism can be good up to a certain level. You know, in fact, when you wake up in the morning and you're worrying about things, just distract yourself. Do something mindless. Escapism becomes a problem when you're hiding your head in the sand and not dealing with the problem at hand, for example, your health or your finances. Escapism can also be a problem if you're turning to alcohol and drugs as your way of escape, because then you end up with a whole nother set of problems.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I would add just one other thing. I've been saying this to people I've spoken with lately, friends and family. I hear a lot of people saying, I'm just going to wait this out. This is going to be lost time. And my answer to that is that this is our lives. This
yes.
is our lives right now. I don't want to write off the next 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, whatever length of time it is. I think we have to do, rather than escaping from this, we have to figure out how to make it, turn it into time that is at least has some meaning or is in some way meaningful to us.
Yeah, and there are some people, let's face it, Dr. Schwebel, they have not interacted with another human being. They have had people drop off things at the front door, and they have not interacted in 2 months. And some are saying that they will stay a year or two in isolation until there's a vaccine. Now, that's a little extreme.
That is pretty extreme. But, you know, these people who are alone, that's a way to make our time meaningful. We can do things for other people. You know, people are making masks. People are providing meals to healthcare workers. People are calling up individuals who are stranded alone at home. My mother-in-law is living alone in Hermosillo, Mexico. And, you know, we're calling every day, and mm-hmm. I started each day sending her an email, extracting her her autobiography. You know, we're trying to do everything we can to engage people, because talking about the mental health effects, isolation is just devastating on the mental health.
It really is. And, you know, I want to circle back to your latest book, Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. This book came out in the fall, last fall, ahead of all of this. But I'll tell you, it's very timely today, isn't it?
Yes. That kind of fits right in here with what we're discussing, that we can view ourselves as powerless here. There's nothing we can do. People are using that as an escape to use drugs or to drink excessively. The circumstances are just so terrible. I can't do anything about it. I can't control myself. We have all these things going on. I deserve a reward. So we have most definitely seen an increase in alcohol sales, alcohol use, drug use. And it's really important to remind people, which is one of the essential messages of the book Leap of Power, is that we absolutely do have control over our drug use. We can decide what we put into our bodies and what we don't put into our bodies. And this is a time where whether it's dealing with our anxiety or it's dealing with a desire to escape and wanting to find things meaningful, that we can use the power that we have. I think we've really been trained to underestimate how much power and how much control we do have, despite the fact we have very little control over this virus itself.
That's so true. We should talk, and it's very important, that there's a real concern about a spike in suicide.
Yes.
From people who are terribly alone right now and desperate and feeling they have no choices.
Yes, and that is such a community problem. Somehow, it gets defined as mental health, and it's interesting because when you think of mental health, you think of illness, disease. I mean, you can see what's driving people there. It's deaths of desperation. And I think we all can do everything within, and should do everything, especially lucky guys like me who are privileged. And that's what I'm trying to do, everything within my means to help others. This is really a community problem. It's a community mental health issue. It's not an individual. And I think we really do have to rally for those who are alone and isolated and desperate and those who don't know where the next meal's coming from.
How can we find out about Leap of Power? How can we follow you with your blogs on Psychology Today, Dr. Schwebel?
Well, Leap of Power is available on Amazon. And Psychology Today, I guess you go to my name, Robert Schwebel, and Psychology Today, and Google it, and you'll come into my blog. I've been so busy writing it. I'm not sure exactly how you get there. My name... Robert Schwebel, and the last name is S-C-H-W-E, B as in boy, E-L. And then Psychology Today blog.
Okay.
We'll probably get to it. And I've written on anxiety and relationships.
Gotta run.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dr. Schwebel. Always
Thanks
a pleasure. Enjoyed
so
the time.
Good to be on your show, Bill.
Thank you very much. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.